हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अव्यय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 60. Foolish persons do not know how risky life is here if one does not follow the instructions of Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, has been started so that by practicing Krishna consciousness, one can avoid the risky life of this material existence. There is no question of accepting or not accepting Krishna consciousness. It is not optional, it is compulsory. If we do not take to Krishna consciousness, our life is very risky. Everything is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Right? You know, so all the detail is explained there. Therefore, to learn how to become free from the miserable condition of material existence, Bhagavad Gita as it is the preliminary study. Then if one understands Bhagavad Gita, one can proceed to Srimad Bhagavatam. And if one advances further, one can study Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are therefore presenting these invaluable books to the whole world so that people may study them and be happy, being delivered from material, miserable, conditional life. So that's the whole idea of Prabhupada, is that people will study, they'll be convinced in Krishna consciousness, they'll be able to practice, and then they actually solve the problem of material life. Right? Because that's the problem. For the soul, material life is the actual problem. Other things are not actually a problem. I mean, of course, they are problems, but they're not actually a problem for the soul. You understand? If you think about it, all the major trouble in your life, no matter what it is, actually has no effect on actually the soul. It feels like it because we identify with it. That's the whole point. That's what Bhagavad Gita is explaining. Then goes on to Srimad Bhagavatam and like this. So, to get that understanding is that technically that's not. So the real problem isn't that, because you spend the whole life making arrangements, taking care of the body and this and that, and at the end of life the body tends to not, how you say?
Reciprocate
quite the way you were hoping. Right? So that's the difficulty. Then, so the soul goes on to the next life and then starts all over again. So then the whole problem is that temporariness that the soul has to go through. That's the real problem. So birth, death, old age, and disease, those are actually the problem. Not the particular disease you have, that you can get disease. Right? Not trying to slow down old age, but that it's there. Right? Why are you taking birth? Why are you dying? These things, that's the real solution. So that can only be solved when the soul functions on the spiritual platform. Right? Is it here? Were we talking about it before? Prabhupada was saying about the I'm not sure if it's here. No, it was Bhakti Notaku was talking about it. So the holy name is Krishna. So technically, so it's not a material sound vibration. So it's not made of material syllables. We're saying it's made of Hare and like this, but it's not actually. It's Krishna directly. It may take that form, but that's only because how you say Narayana Adudbhuto Yam Varna Kramaha. All the varnas come from Narayana. So here is Narayana, the source of all the varnas, all the syllables. you know, that we find in words. So the holy name, being Krishna, actually can't be chanted by anyone material. That's why if someone hasn't come in contact with the parampara, then they're not actually chanting the pure spiritual name. Because they can't. Because it can't be chanted on the material platform. So it's only by coming in contact with the internal potency, by the grace of the internal potency, that one can actually therefore chant. And what are you chanting from? Our actual natural spiritual position. Does that make sense? We may not realize or understand it, but it's because the soul is acting on its natural position as servant of Krishna. Therefore, as servant of Krishna, one can chant. We also see discussions on using the spiritual intelligence. That's because if one identifies as servant of Krishna, one is therefore using the spiritual form. Therefore, you can use the spiritual intelligence, spiritual mind, spiritual senses, and be engaged in spiritual activities. Right? But we're not conscious of that because, like it was said, we're very conscious of the gross and subtle body. Therefore, we think that these are the problems. So, if one takes shelter of that, of the holy name, takes shelter of that, yeah, we should make it a little better. Yeah. So, if we take shelter of the holy name, then we can actually see, I mean, actually be absorbed in and in touch with Krishna. So depending upon our surrender, Krishna reveals himself. So that first thing is surrendering to his internal potency. By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. Yeah, so Krishna then puts one in contact with the parampara, in other words, the representative of the internal potency. Having that contact, right, then one can follow the process by which Krishna will be pleased. So if you don't take that first step, it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So that surrender to the process as given by the acharyas, that's then where Krishna then reciprocates on that platform. Otherwise, then we follow the modes of nature, he reciprocates in that way. Yes?
Maharaj, where this happens, that we surrender kind of to the process if we are all here, and then after some time we develop, like we get used to the process, so we start developing our own aropya on the process because we think we know enough to make sure that we are going the direction we should be going.
But what's the direction? How do you define the direction?
Shastra.
The Shastra, but I'm saying, okay, so we're following that, but what is Shastra saying you should get from that direction?
Peace. Love.
So are we getting that? So when we say that we feel we're doing enough, we know what we're doing, we're going in the right direction, what are the symptoms of that taste, of that attachment, of that attraction?
Usually we hear that it's going to come. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yes, so therefore, what is it? There's a saying, keep your eye on the prize. You know? So we should be looking at that, not on just the forms that we're using. The forms we're using are the recommended, but it's what you do with them that impresses Krishna. Does that make sense? So there is no such thing as just we're doing okay and then we just go on. And like, it means we may do that due to our conditioning. But it's not actually part of the process. It's part of our process. Meaning that we take up the process of devotional service. And we keep our focus on trying to develop that pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. And so that's why we're following the different things. Not that because we're following it, therefore everything's perfect. It's these are the means by which we will come to that perfect state. So until we come to the platform of prema, then we should not take our eye off the goal and just get, you know, sit back and everything's good. And you know what I'm saying? So it's because we've taken our eye off the goal, we put it on something else. Therefore, that aropya aspect and all that will come up. Because we think, you know, position is there, facility or, you know, something we'll think is the important thing. Is that what I'm saying? And so that's why we get distracted. But if we keep it on, no, it's pure unalloyed devotion. That's why we see as he goes through, he says the basic fundamental study is in the Gita. Right? Yeah. Bhagavad Gita, as it is the preliminary study. It means it has all the philosophical points. There aren't any other philosophical points other than what's given in Gita. You can go deeper into those points, but there aren't any new ones. It's not that, okay, here's the beginning and then there's something else. Every point that's there is there, because we see is that whole discussion about Nishkam Karma Yoga and all those kind of things that is basically the opening discussions of Gita. Once Krishna points out there's a spiritual perspective, but starting from the third chapter, then what is Bhagavatam, you know, going into that kind of detail with in the 11th canto? Because in Gita, it doesn't use the term Nishkam Karma Yoga directly. It'll be talking about Karma Yoga, doing things for Krishna. One has to be Nishkam. It doesn't put it together in that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses it in his explanation. But we see in the 11th canto, Krishna directly uses those words in the verses. So understand that. That's what's being explained there. So in other words, it's all the way through. So Prabhupada makes the point that the Bhagavad Gita, Kapila Gita, and Uddhava Gita are the same Gita. It's just that it's being seen at deeper and deeper levels. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Krishna being the ultimate prayojan, and therefore, for going for this ultimate prayojan, we have the intermediate prayojan, which are acting as the building blocks. And that should be the...
Acting as building blocks, yeah. The media ones. Acting as building blocks or stumbling blocks?
Building blocks,
okay. Positive attitude, okay.
No, because it's a success, we have achieved a goal. Okay, and... Yeah. So, my question is that, basically, we are on the right track, you know. Can we understand on how we achieve these intermediate prayojan before we attain the ultimate prayojan?
Can we understand if we are achieving?
Yeah.
Depends upon what the achievement is. If it's going to be, on the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has then elucidated that Krishna and Prasad are non-different. By associating with Krishna as Prasad, then one can get that taste of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, my immediate goal is getting myself to breakfast and making sure that I have some serious association with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, now that is a stepping stone on the way to prema, because we're
this is...
But see, I'm not sure, the point is all these things, anything that is connected to Krishna, that's the first thing to check. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when they would hand in a article for, you know, printing in their journals, he would look through mainly for how many times Krishna is mentioned. So if Krishna is mentioned, then it's good. And then within that, then if they understood more about, you know, like that, then it gets better. So in other words, if it mentions Krishna, it's about Krishna, it's worth printing in the magazine. Right? Now, if on top of that, they really are able to present something very nicely and logically and everything like that, like Srila Prabhupada was, that's where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, anything he writes, print it. Because he knows what he writes, that's actually giving the good Siddhanta. But what everybody else writes, as long as they mention Krishna's name in it, it's a good article. Because the point is connecting to Krishna is that. So therefore, one can look at whatever one does, and if it has some connection to Krishna, it's good. Right? But we're trying to get from Shraddha to Prema. And so that means the Shraddha has to be exclusively in Krishna alone. You know, that means Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his devotee, dham, paraphernalia, like this. So that has to be where it is exclusively, not in anything material, nothing connected with karma and jnana. That's why then, along with seeing that we've connected it to Krishna, so we're looking at the I always get it mixed up. Yama is what you shouldn't do, right? And niyama is what you should do. Yeah, that's the way you think it is, but which is it?
Yama
is yama is prohibitions.
Prohibitions are the
niyama.
Niyama. Okay. So what you should do is the yama, and what you shouldn't do is the niyama. So it should be connected to Krishna. It should be free from karma and jnana. It should be favorable for Krishna. So you're looking at that aspect, like you said, the symptoms. You can look at that. But at the same time, unless we've come to the platform of prema, we also look at the niyama and see what is, since it is not on the platform of prema, what is keeping it from being on the platform of prema. So therefore, then, whatever it is, we're willing to, you know, try to give that up to please Krishna. So we follow that yama to give up what is not favorable. Does that make sense? So we're looking at both at once. Because if you only look at one or the other, then the flavor is not good. Right? Somebody, it's always good, it's nice, but then certain times then we'll see is the problem. You have to be able to see what is the problem, though you may have a positive attitude in trying to deal with it in Krishna consciousness, because there is no other solution. Right? Same time as someone may be critical and they find always the fault, but if they don't find, you know, the aspect that is connected to Krishna, then it appears that, you know, nothing's right and all this. No, but that someone is doing anything connected to Krishna that's coming from the parampara, that's perfect. Right? But we're trying to get it to more perfect, to most perfect. Does that make sense? So then the symptoms, you look at both. You look at what's the positive, or you look at the negative. Good. You know, it's like, let's say you cook something. It looks fabulous, and then when you taste it, there's no flavor. You can get that. Like, I remember once I was cooking, the vegetables were looking so, like, you know, sharp. You know, the color was really good. You know, everything was coming out. It was fabulous. And I was thinking, wow. You know, because normally they kind of fall apart. And then after, when you sat down, you eat, then you find out you put no salt. So if you put no salt, the water doesn't come out. So therefore, of course, it keeps its shape. It looked fabulous. Right? And other times, you know, it's completely, you know, a war zone. When you taste it, it's fabulous. Right? So therefore, the look is good. Now we have to add some flavor. The flavor is good, but, you know, we could work on the look. You know what I'm saying? So you see what's the good. You keep that. That's the whole point, is whatever is good is kept. So because there's a fault doesn't mean that what's good is not good. Because on the material platform, if anything's bad, we throw out the whole thing. Right? So, but the point is this, no. What is good is kept. And so that's good. Okay, we've made advance, and okay, up to this point. That's good. Keep that part. Now what's missing, that's the part to look at. But not to get disturbed, because the process does work. It's natural for the soul. We should be doing it. You know, it's not like when we're sitting down to a nice meal that before we start, will it actually take away our hunger? Will it really nourish us and all that? How do we know? How do we know it's not a conspiracy? You know, maybe the people from Pleiades have made this all up and all that, and it's not actually going to happen. No, we just start eating and the hunger goes away. Right? I left out the shape-shifting reptiles. Yeah.
Because they don't eat like this.
Yeah, they don't eat.
They just swallow.
They eat the ones who are eating like this. Yes.
Whole.
Yes, whole. Unless they just suck their blood and leave this dried-up carcass. You know.
Those vampires.
Oh, that's a different scenario. Excuse me. Yes, don't really get them mixed up. Yeah. Ah, yes, if it's more towards the east block, it's vampires, and it's more towards the west, then it's shape-shifting reptiles.
Okay. You combine them?
Yes. Yes. I think that's zombies. sorry. Does this make some sense? I mean, what we were talking before, this other digression. What we talked there either made sense or it made no sense. So if it made no sense, don't worry about it. If it made sense, also don't worry about it. But maybe get worried, why do you understand it? Right. One may have to look at one's samskaras very carefully. Okay.
It makes sense. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So that's the whole point. Is that, like we were discussing this morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is recommending that we analyze our devotion. So we see how much progress is there. We should be inspired. And we know, okay, this much more we have to do. So how do we have to be careful? Not, oh, there's so much left. Point is there's less left than there was before. So when there was less, when we were less advanced, let's say we're at 20%, we have 80% to go. Now that we're at 40% and it's only 60, we shouldn't start getting mental, oh, 60%, how are we gonna? No, already, you know, we've already gotten to 40. It works, the process. We just have to stick to the process. We have to keep the eye on the actual goal, which is prema, not on these other things. These other things are only symptoms that I am engaging my conditioning to the best of my ability. Right? So that's how I know, is the knowledge is there, skill is there, results there. Right? But the point is, what's all that for? To please Krishna. So what's my mentality? Is it just to please Krishna, or I'm trying to get some benefit from this also? You know what I'm saying? Like the guy in the office, he does actually do your work. You know, you just have to take him a box of sweets, that's all. You know what I'm saying? So he is doing the work, but he's also getting something on the side. So we have to start looking at that. Does that make sense? Yes.
Regarding the holy names, if they only have the potency of Krishna, if we get them...
They only have the potency of Krishna.
if they only have the full potency, when we get them from the chief potency.
Yes. Means, in other words, it's Krishna when we get it in parampara. When we don't, then it's just those syllables, because then, you know, all these come from the different vargas.
So what is the purificatory element in it for those that don't get it in parampara?
That means, what do they benefit? Do they get? It's just the best material piety you could do.
They're not yet seeing Lakshmi Krishna?
No, not at all. They're just getting material punya. But material punya makes you feel good, so that's why the people down at the yoga studio who are chanting Hare Krishna from materialists, then it makes them feel good, so they like doing it. So, but the only advantage is that therefore they'll be open to devotees coming and doing kirtan. And then if by they're lucky, they have that aspect of sincerity of wanting to know, then somehow or another they'll be arranged, or they'll be there. Then the devotees chanting, now they've heard from the parampara, now they'll get that either agyata sukriti, if they don't actually understand, they just think it's some yoga chant, or they'll get bhakti if they, shraddha, if they actually appreciate that it's the Lord's name and they want to take up the process. So that's the whole point, is that all these materialists, they're not getting. Otherwise, with these sahajiyas, then they would be fabulous. They sit there, they can chant for 3 hours. How many yoga studios will chant for 3 hours? They come in a shift. You ever seen them? You know, that's that like that. They work in 3-hour shifts. It's one prahara, right? Because, you know, you have to work it out somehow. So they have to make their money and do this and that. But at the same time, it has to be Krishna conscious. So Krishna has his astaprahara lila, the eight 3-hour blocks. And so therefore, they work in a 3-hour block. You know, but I think that they have to do 2 blocks a day. So 6 hours, you know. So they get paid for that. And so they're chanting, they'll do that, you know. So, but the point is they're functioning on the mundane platform, because it's not, they haven't heard it from the chit potency. So it doesn't have that. So they are just chanting syllables. But it's the most pious thing you can get, so they'll get some benefit from that. But at the same time, as Prabhupada points out, it basically just gets the bile moving. So it digests all the rice and that they ate, you know. You know, in other words, they'll have good digestion by chanting Hare Krishna. You know, which is a good thing. All health comes from digestion. So. You know, otherwise, how do you do kirtan and jump up and down for 3 hours unless your health is good? So, and, you know, so they're getting something out of it. So, but it's only when it comes in contact with the parampara. That's the meaning of the path of karma and the path of jnana. Then the bhakti is the underlying element. They have to perform the activities of bhakti to get any benefit. But the problem is until they've connected it to the parampara, it isn't bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. That's why one must hear from the authorized devotees coming in parampara. If not, then it's like the milk touched by the lips of the servant. You think it's spiritual, or you think it's this, but it's only increasing your material benefits, your material desire. But when you come in, but because you are willing to do that, you come in contact with the devotees who are actually doing it. You know what I'm saying? The Hindus will go to anything, right? Like that. And so then therefore they have that thing of going, respecting, bowing down, offering prayers, this and that. So then if they come in contact with actual parampara temple, you know, that's being worshipped by devotees in parampara, then when they go to that temple, now they start getting that agyata sukriti. But it's only because they're willing to go to any temple that then they'll go to this temple. So they're following that process of bhakti without bhakti. And then they come in contact, is there. You understand? That's why there's the element of anything can be connected to Krishna, but you actually have to know what's connecting and what's not. So if you simply say anything can connect it, so all the things that I like to connect, I'm connecting. But all the things that are recommended, then I say, oh, that shouldn't, no need to connect that. There's a problem here. That I'm connecting something to Krishna, that's good. But we have to see is then, what's the real reason I'm only connecting these and I'm avoiding what's recommended. So that has some material motive to it. That's going to be a stumbling block to our devotional service. So yes, we will be situated on that beginning stage of bhakti, but we may not get past that because we're using the philosophy just to support our attachments. Does that make sense? We have to use the philosophy to engage our attachments, not support them. That's why the tenth offense is to maintain material attachment. It doesn't say the tenth offense isn't to have any material attachment at all, and if you are, then in that state your chanting is offensive. No, it says to maintain. So you have attachment, that's the meaning, right? When you come, before developing Shraddha, right, basically you can say you have 100% attachment to the material energy. Right? There may be some doubts in it, but you know, you're thinking of, you know, a better world or something. You know, some way you're going to get that 100%. So you take up the process, but in taking it up, then you hear about surrendering or following this process or this. So you try your best to do that. That means even though you're chanting, even though you have the desire, it's not an offense. Right? But if having an attachment, you try to defend that and try to maintain it and keep it despite all opportunity to give it up, right? Then you could say, now we're having a problem.
Yeah. And if this is not the case, not that you don't have it and not that you have it and not trying to maintain it, but you just do nothing about it.
That's akarma. So that's also, how you say, it's like... you didn't steal, but you kept the thief in your house? Or you allowed the thief to stay in your house. You didn't actually specifically keep. He wants to hang out. Hey, what do you care? So there'll be it won't be ideal. But if it's a matter of you can't because of just the conditioning and the impurities, then you would like to, but you can't, then that's seen in that way. But if it's you have attachments and you're trying to say that they're okay, that's not good. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference there, is that you're dealing with the material attachments because they're there, but you don't know how to get rid of them. You know, that happens. But the point is we should be looking at all these things and trying to apply them. Is that make sense? So that's then why it's here, and we're seeing it in all aspects of devotees' lives. So even on the platform of prema, as we're discussing here with Dhruva and Dara, is they simply want the benefit of, you know, everybody. Because the Lord, He wants to see all living entities, you know, functioning on the platform of pure devotion. So wanting to please the Lord, then you want to take part or be instrumental in taking part in, some way or another, all the living entities coming back and taking up service to Krishna. So that's how they're seeing it. So then this desire is working on that platform of friendship. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to do the Lord's work. Like Arjuna on the battlefield, he's trying to do the Lord's work. That's friendship. Right, of the nine processes. Friendship doesn't mean that, you know, you sit there and wink eyes and bump your elbow and, you know, stuff like that. It means that, you know, it means that a friend does something that you want. So Krishna wants that all the living entities go back to Godhead through the process of preaching, so therefore you take part in that process in some way or another. Either directly out there preaching, or assisting those who are preaching, or assisting those who are assisting those who are preaching. Or, does that make sense? Yeah, so you're cleaning the pots while, you know, to assist those who are cooking the prasadam, who are being distributed by those who actually go out. So you're just assisting the spirit like that. Yes?
Thinking we have Sambandha Vidhe and Prayojan. And anarthas, apparently, they shift from one place to another. And then the devotees are bewildered because they can't really see where the anartha is. Say, for example, as you mentioned before Shraddha, it's everywhere. But then Prayojana is set up, even for neophytes, you know, the love of God, and it sounds good, but we don't have knowledge and we don't know how to practice it. And then we gain, you know, bits and pieces of knowledge, but still we can't practice, and it's like that. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly moving.
No, but it's just a matter of where our focus is, that's then where we apply. That's what Krishna is saying in that second verse of the Chatur Shloki. Is that what you value, if you see that in connection with Krishna, then it is real. And if you don't, then that's illusion. So it's shifting because our focus is shifting.
Right.
So wherever we're focusing, that's what we have to see connected to Krishna. But if you can maintain all of them at once, and that be conscious of everything, you know, like that, then that's great. You know? But if not, whatever you're focused on, see that in connection to Krishna. So it's, in other words, what is your field of perception, that has to be, and within that perception, what's valued, that's what you have to connect to Krishna. So it actually makes it very easy. So if right now you're hungry and you're only looking for something to eat, you only have to worry about connecting that eating process to Krishna. Right? Unless it's like halfway through the morning puja or something. You know. But then you are aware that you are doing puja and, you know, like that. So. Does that make sense? So that's where you apply. So whatever you're seeing, so it moving around just means that different aspects the mind is focusing on at different times, because you have that full wide range. So you have the knowledge of who you are, who Krishna is, what's the material world. Right? Then you have what's the attitude, therefore, as a devotee, I should have with that knowledge. Then what are the processes you can follow with that knowledge and that, and what goals you can get. Right? So all those aspects then is your Sambandha Gyan. So depending upon at the moment where you're focusing, that's the one then you work on. So we're talking here about Drona and Dara, so then there's aspect of the Prayojana, or it goes back to the, in this specific said before, the Sambandha, their relationship of seeing themselves as servant to the Lord. So we'll think about that. Or we're thinking about how, you know, Mother Jashoda doesn't really care that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, so then she just thinks that was, you know, some digression in her thoughts, so therefore then then, you know, we're appreciating, but, you know, that actually everything's just for Krishna. All these other side things aren't as important. So whatever is being brought up or whatever is there in our life, that's what we can contemplate. And from contemplating that, then that's where then we will be Krishna conscious. So that's the point of the Leela. It's just wherever Yogamaya is arranging, you know, to please Krishna, that's where the focus is. You know, so it moves around, like you said. So that's just the nature of the energy. So the mind, being a thing of energy, will move around. So it's not actually a problem. As long as where it moves around, we're thinking of Krishna. When it simply moves around from one thing to the next, not thinking of Krishna, as soon as we try to think of Krishna, it moves on to the next so that it doesn't have to. That's a problem. Is that? Yeah? Okay. So, here's talking about foolish persons don't know how risky life is, because at any moment one can be, you know, set up for the next situation once in. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you just have to start all over again. Right? Work so hard, you know, somehow or another survived being a kid, went through the whole educational system, got your degree, worked out, got a job, finally, you know, got to the position where you're making the kind of money you want so you can get the kind of facility you want and all that. So now if at that point you leave the body, you start all over again.
You know. No, you should start in the same position.
Yes, that would be nice, but you don't. Yes. Yes, if you go into the bank and all that and says, well, it says here that in your last life, then you had, you took a mortgage out with us and you had paid 50% of the mortgage. So that means, you know, you're left with only 100,000 now. So, you know, so do you want to do that again over 30 years? Or do you want to do that just take up in the 15 years?
That's not the part I was thinking. So what, that when you start over again, then you already have all that money, so you just enter the situation where your family is fabulously wealthy, if you made it last life, and you just continue enjoying.
Isn't yeah, but the problem is they're spending it while you're growing up. So by the time you can make that money, then you're 30, so that means 30 years of spending that money. Yeah. So you might want to rethink your
I will.
Your utopia here. Because you have to remember, you made the money, not them. So all they know how to do is spend it. So yes. So therefore, foolish persons do not know how risky life is. So that's the whole thing, is that we work so hard, all this gets lost. And so the soul is dissatisfied, because the normal thing is for the soul is you perform an activity, you get a result. And that result should be eternal. That's why we think like that. But that only happens if we're functioning on the spiritual platform. If we're not functioning on the spiritual platform, then that won't work. That's why then we have to take up the Krishna Conscious movement. Therefore, it's been started so that by practicing Krishna Conscious, one can avoid the risky life of its material existence. So, Prabhupada's point is there's no question of not accepting it. It's not that, oh, we're one alternative or one movement. No, there's only the Krishna Consciousness movement. Right? So this is the Krishna Consciousness movement as given by Lord Chaitanya. And then specifically through his own, you know, Gaudiya line. But he has given the same mission to all the other Vaishnava Sampradayas. But they're just taking devotees who are interested in going to Vaikuntha. So it's not that their lines aren't bona fide. They're bona fide, perfectly. But they're bona fide to take you to Vaikuntha. But Lord Chaitanya's line is there to take you to Braj. None of the other Sampradayas will take you to Braj. That is 100% clear. They may talk about Radha and Krishna, spontaneous devotional service, but it's in Sambhog, not in Vipralamba. So that's not Braj. Does that make sense? Or they may have the element of the parental rasa and this and that. They talk about, you just have to see what's the line. If there's no separation, then it's not Braj. It's Vrindavan, but it's not Braj Vrindavan. That's why we don't just say Vrindavan, we say Braj Vrindavan. Right? So when we talk about Vrindavan, we mean Braj Vrindavan. But why that term Braj Vrindavan is there is because there are other manifestations of Vrindavan for those devotees who want to worship Radha and Krishna, but not in, with the element of separation. You know, so in other words, they're with, just like we can be with the deities all day and do that service, it's like that, except for you're personally with the Lord. Does that make sense? So for us, there's only certain times of the day that you're doing things with Krishna. Right? But with these others, you're always with. So it's a different flavor. So therefore, Braj Vrindavan is only, that's why it says Lord Chaitanya is giving something that was never given before. So that means in the whole day of Brahma, you know, in 1,000 yuga cycles, and in each yuga there is the yuga dharma with the deity, you know, the particular avatar. So this is the one time in 1,000 that Braja is being given. All the other times it's always Vaikuntha. Because there's Braja and then there's Vaikuntha. Now, Mathura or these Vrindavan, that's more on the sweetness. So, you know, lower Goloka Vrindavan, that will be more sweetness than, let's say, Mathura. Right? But, it, you know, and then that'll be more than Dwarka, that'll be more than Vaikuntha. But the whole thing is that's all Vaikuntha. So it has to be clear. It's very specific. That's why we don't play around. You know, we discussed the other day. There's a mood. We stick to that. We don't just pick and choose what we like, how we want, and think it'll all end up in the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are prominent personalities who say any path you take will get you to the same place, but we don't somehow or other buy that, even though they are Bengali. But it's still, it's not enough. You know? Close, but not enough. Yes.
Maharaj, you have very confidently made the statement that our path is the best.
No, I didn't say we are the best. I'm saying our path leads to Braj. So if that's what you want, then this is the path. Even if you want those others, because of the element of Achinta Beta Beta Tattva and the prominence on the chanting of the holy name, as you know, so the conclusions given by Lord Chaitanya, you'll be able to understand your own sampradaya's conclusions and the process will work quicker if you follow our process. You want to go to Vaikuntha, you'll go much quicker if you follow our process. Right? Because where does when let's say the Sri Vaishnava gets very serious and he just wants to get into his bhajan, right? You're familiar with these kind of things? Right. Okay, so that's called prapatti, no? Yeah. So at that point, it's explained to them about this aspect of, you know, giving up all varieties of religion and just surrendering to Krishna, right? Like that. In fact, it's considered such a special and secret thing that in a lecture, public lecture, you can't use that verse. You don't quote the Sanskrit. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's a lifetime of like this, then you get to that position and all that. Then you start to see the importance of it's really that devotion. It's not all the rules and regulations and all that that we've been following all this time. Those are there to please the Lord, but it's actually the devotion that's the main thing, right? Okay? I don't know about today, but at least I could say before, you made someone into a devotee by quoting that shloka. So we start them off on developing Shraddha from that shloka. So then where is it going to go from there? Yeah, so that's my point, is that the process will be quicker. Because that's all we're talking about. Why is it? Means in here, these points, we've heard them so many times. Right? Why is it we're going through this, you know, so slowly? Because of that point, to be able to tell the difference between what is religion and what's surrendering that to please Krishna. Because we take it, the religion is the surrender. Mm-hmm. Right? But, and so on one plan, it is. Because the only reason we're following is because of the Krishna consciousness movement and all that. But in the process, one has to give up the benefits that one sees one will get from that religious process. The aspects of karma and jnana. It has to be, I'm following the religious process simply because it pleases Krishna. Because you have to do something to please. You want to please someone, you do something. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's not just arbitrary what you do. Krishna's a person, that means he has his likes and dislikes. So what he likes and all that, that's religion. What he doesn't like is irreligion. Right? And so religion is defined what's connected to him, and irreligion is what's not connected to him. So therefore, following the lifestyle and the culture and the things that he recommends, that is devotion. So that's why we're following the religious process. Not that the religious process is giving us Krishna. See, there's the religious process and there's bhakti. We don't know that. Because for us, we're using sub-religious processes in the modern, you know, religious environment. Sub-religion. And from that we'll get all the benefit. The concept of devotion is not a necessary thing. Faith, yes, but that devotion, no. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have faith, you know, and all that, and even though you have leprosy, but you have so much faith, and then, you know, that, and then in somehow or another in the rainstorm and all that, then, you know, the leprosy goes away. Right? What do you mean, no? It did. You didn't see the movie?
The movie, yes.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking authority here. You know. It says you're supposed to quote your authority. You know. Right? Okay, so that's the whole thing, right? Does it, in that story, is there any aspect of pure devotion? No. If you talk about pure devotion, no one who's functioning on the platform of world religions will complain. You know, it's a, not a bad thing. But it's not what is being focused on. You understand? So that's what we're used to. And most of the time, a lot of it's just made up. So is it actual religion? You know what I'm saying? It's in pursuance of. It's subtly. So what we're doing it, you can say, is that artha, the activities are given in dharma. But because the purpose of it is not because it's our duty, but because of the benefit we'll get from it, it's called artha. Mm-hmm. Right? And when I just follow that because the mechanics, and I'll get the results from that, that's called niti. You understand? So so therefore, it's a mentality. So love for Krishna is a mentality, not what you're doing. But religion is the medium used to express that love. But it's the love that's important. And it has to be shown that it's not these particular rituals that are the religion. The actual religion is what pleases Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's why up to, basically, he means, yeah, you could say nicely, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, all these things, then the two go really well. You follow the religious principle, that is 100% the thing that's there. Of course, you're doing it with devotion. But you see then when you get to Goloka, when you're dealing with Krishna, then there's the aspect about pleasing him. Though, in Mathura and Dwarka, there is still that prominence of or that aspect of Aishwarya. And so then generally following the rules and all that is, you know, an accepted part of it. But you see in Braj, it's actually what pleases Krishna is the only thing. It's not, Nanda Baba is not giving in charity and feeding the Brahmins and doing yajnas because, you know, from that you get all this. It's to please Krishna. So even though he's doing that, from that it'll get that. The piety will then go to the child, so then the child will be happy. So his actually only real point is that it makes Krishna happy. So that's what you see. That's Sarvadharma Parityaja. He's performing the same activity. Right? Vasudeva also in his mind gave in charity, did all that, but that'll have that aspect of Aishwarya. You know? Does that make sense? So yes, the rules and regulations and that, this is the proper thing to do. Nanda Baba just does it spontaneously. That's why there is such a thing as giving in charity and that at the birth of a child, because Nanda Baba did it. Therefore, you see it done in Vaikuntha, it's formalized into the Varnashram system in the Shastras here, and so pious people follow that. Right? And it does recommend, you know, cows and prasad and gold and jewels and clothes, not cigars. or that, how you say, that bottle of champagne or cognac that you've kept for so long. No. Yeah? So, but the point is you're being charitable. That's the main principle, and then detail that the more you follow according to the Vedic, then the more benefit you get. Like, your child does not get a lot of benefit by giving away cigars. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Unless the piety you expect is that they'll own a successful Havana cigar factory.
Plantation.
Yes, a plantation or something like that, yeah. Does that make sense? So, these are the fine points that are there. So, our sampradaya is offering this. You want that, then it's there. Even if you don't want it, it's still because you're following a system that can take you there. Why won't it have a benefit on another level? Does that make sense? So, we're not saying it's the best. One might look at all these things and come to that conclusion.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Maharaj, like the four sampradayas, or even our sampradaya, you know, this is where bhakti is being offered.
Yes.
So some people say that this is a fault with this sampradaya, with the Vaishnavas, that they are, this will breed sectarianism.
Acha?
Yeah.
Acha? And the person saying it aren't sectarian.
They want.
That means they're blind to their sectarianism. Yeah. So the whole point is why do we care? We get so worried. Oh, but what if they say, who's they? What's their point? They're these foolish persons, right? The smarto who says, oh, the Vaishnavas are sectarian. Do you get anyone more sectarian than a smarto? I mean, I don't think you think like that. You really don't. Because even if you're a nice guy, they don't care. Well, if we have a guy in a muscle pickup truck with two shotguns in the back and he's wearing a baseball hat and a t-shirt, right? And his neck is a little tanned from the sun. He may be quite sectarian. But if you're a nice guy, then okay, they'll deal with you okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is generally the people who point it out, that's their fault itself. They'll say that, but the point is we're dealing with souls. Souls are universal, so how's that? And then to deal with a particular item according to its nature, let's say we drive a car, we drink a glass of water. We don't, get in the glass of water and go vroom vroom and try to drink the car. We'd say you're crazy, right? So, therefore, it's intelligent that you can discriminate the various things, the various energies of the Lord within this material world, how they were made by the Lord in the laws, and that they're engaged according to their laws. How is that in any way, shape, or form sectarian? So we're talking about the soul. So what the soul should do, depending on the conditioning, then they're doing like this. But the point is, you want to get out of the material world, this is what you have to do. Because they're not worried about the soul. They're worried about the material position. Right? Because the karmis, they want to enjoy, right? So they're not really worried about the soul. They do have the faith in the soul, because otherwise, if you don't, why would you spend a whole lifetime doing austerities with the faith that next lifetime I'll be elevated to the heavenly planets? So they do have that knowledge of the soul, but it's not about the soul, right? It's about us enjoying our better conditioning. And the jnanis, they don't care about the soul because they don't think there is one. They're saying, so we're the only ones that actually care about the soul. So why is that sectarian? And their brand of not caring about the soul is that's so liberal. You understand? So the whole point is due to the mode of ignorance, these things get turned around and people see them in a different light. Right? Because the point is if I'm talking something spiritual or I'm talking something according to karma and jnana, what are people used to hearing about?
Karma.
What are they used to endeavoring for?
Karma.
Right? What is their goals?
Karma.
Okay, so then the spiritual is, well, I don't know. So that's why if you use spiritual language but present karma and jnana, people will buy it more than pure devotional service. And then we'll think it's a success because see all the people. Volume is the definite symptom of success. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So Prabhupada's point is since we're selling jewels, not broken glass, so therefore you'll have less people coming. Does that make sense? Have you been to Dubai? Okay. Dubai, they have this monster mall. In it, you might have a shop as big as this hut we're sitting in. That's quite big. Filled full of all kinds of people working there. Anytime you go by that shop, no one's in there. Never. And you go down all of them, they're all like that. Right? Because all they have to do is probably once a week or once every 10 days or 2 weeks sell one watch or one diamond or one that, and their whole shop runs. Right? And we'll call those upbeat shops. Right? Have you ever been to Canal Street? Or how about, let's say, a market in Morocco? Okay, but been to Butter Bazaar? Okay, everything's right out there. Everyone's yapping and screaming and all that. Yeah? So it's just what you want. Right? In other words, cheap things work on volume. Expensive things don't work on volume. So bhakti doesn't work on volume. We try to make it available to the maximum amount of souls because the wider you throw the net, the more chance that someone will take it up. But it's not about volume. Right? When Prabhupada talks about volume, that's because we think in volume. Westerners always think in volume. Right? So they think in quantity, not quality. Because if it was quality, then basically most all the stuff that they sell now would be technically classified as schlock. Right? Just junk. Like that. Because quality is something else. So it's about quantity. It's about volume. Does that make sense? So we want to avoid that. So then that's why then the devotional process is being given. And here Lord Chaitanya is giving the rarest. And that's what's also so unique is that it's actually available to so many people. So what he's given and that, you know, they've opened the, you know, how you say, opened the seal on the warehouse of love of God and distributing it freely whether you qualify or not. That's unique. No one else is doing that. So how do we get sectarian out of this? It's just you find a word that people will, like, let's say if people actually like sectarian, they wouldn't use that word. They wouldn't even use that approach. They'll just find whatever approach is taken as a modern no-no and then try to then find something that they can label that. And once they find that, they won't move from that because they only have that one example. Or, you know, those few, they don't have anything else. They don't know anything else. They don't want to know anything else. They want to be, you know, how you say, in illusion. Does that make sense? So is that okay? So it's not optional, it's compulsory. In other words, if you want to solve the problems of life, you have to take up Krishna consciousness, you have to get out of the material world, because in the material world, there is no solution. Right? So then the points given in Bhagavad Gita is preliminary, because it's given in the simplest form, but the principles, the adhikaranas, are the same. Then as you go on, the Bhagavatam then will have a deeper understanding of those, give more detail, and then so you have the full kind of like science there. And then we see here the introduction of the actual point of the taste and love for Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita will give even finer breakdowns in connection to developing love for Krishna. Like that. Yeah. Okay. We are therefore presenting these invaluable books to the whole world so that people may study them and be happy. Because that's how they're going to be happy, knowing their relationship with Krishna. And by that, being delivered from a miserable condition of life. Right? So we're miserable because we think this is actual life. When you find out this is not, spiritual life is actual life, then we're not as miserable. Sukadeva Goswami continued. When Brahma said, let it be so, the most fortunate Drona, who is equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Vrajapura, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife, Dara, appeared as Mother Jashoda. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Drona was born as Nanda in Braj, and Dara was born as Jashoda. It should be understood that they, as sadhana siddhas, entered into the nitya siddha forms of Nanda and Jashoda at that time. Okay? So, in other words, Nanda and Jashoda are the eternal forms of Krishna's parent. And then, they, as their expansion, as Drona and Dara, then they were sadhana siddhas by the activities they performed. They came to that perfectional platform. And then that aspect or that mentality that's there in those two, which is an expansion of Nanda and Jashoda, then merged back into Nanda and Jashoda. You know, just like when Krishna comes, him being avatari, all avatars are within him. Right? Does that make sense? So it works like it. So for Krishna, it's not a problem. Like he starts in all his houses, 16,108 of them. Now there'll be so many streets, right? You have the palaces, the streets, they'll come onto the streets. Those streets will meet other streets. Those will meet other streets. They'll finally get to the main gate. That will go into, and then from there he'll go into the assembly hall. So as he walks out, there'll be two Krishnas, and then they'll come together as one as they meet at the next street, the other Krishnas, they'll move like that, until only one Krishna walks into the assembly hall. But as he walks out, and all that, when he gets to a street, that this house goes to that house, that one goes, then he goes as two Krishnas. Right? But, you know, we don't see that he necessarily talks to each other and stuff like that. So we don't have to worry about the lamas. Yeah. Yes.
We discussed previously that Mayavad philosophy would be thinking that somebody can become somebody else when they achieve perfection.
But this is them achieving themselves. They're not different living in here. It's just these are different moves. Like in the Gorgana Deshtipika, then when it mentions Vishru Nandotsava. What's the Otsava after Gaurapurnima? The next day after Gaurapurnima?
Jagannath.
Okay, so Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. So they have all the flavors of all those aspects of parents of Nandan, Jashoda, Vasudev, Devaki, Drona, Dara, then Sutapa and Krishni, all these different, they're all there. You know, and then after having said all these different things and who's who and in the Leela, you know, who's in Krishna Leela, who's here, and everything like that, then afterwards he says, if it doesn't make sense to you, then you shouldn't be reading the book. So, you know, you're not going to get, you know, if you're looking for some logical explanation, you're not going to get it. This is just fact the way it is, and if you don't like it, put the book down. You know what I'm saying? Because there's just some things. So they come to set example. Like, does Bhaktivinoda Thakur have to perfect himself? Does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur have to become, you know, a scholar in astrology and then, be a minister for the king of, and all that kind of stuff and that, and then, you know, come the understanding of the importance of the name, then sits down in Mayapur and then for 10 years chants 3 lakhs of names every day, and then after that, then starts his mission. No. You know, does Narottam Das Thakur have to go down to the Padma? Like no, but they do this. Rupa and Sanatan have to be, you know, ministers in the Muslim kings, you know, things like that. And then they, no. It's all, that's pastime. So they come and show how sadhakas will do and this and that. But the point is parents are the parents. Okay. So, You know, it's not that you go out to a party and your parents are dressed as, how you say, Louis and Marie, and so now they're not your parents anymore. Yeah? Like that, so. No? Yeah, just when you walk around the house, be careful of anything sharp, right? Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's all like a drama.
It's all like a drama. That's why it's called pastimes. And we're thinking, no, it has to be real. It says, what's real? Right? You have dead matter that's being moved about by the modes of nature. You know, the example is given like the puppeteer moves the puppets. And so, and we think that's real. And then when we're given what's actually real, do we say, no, that's not real? That's the influence of the mode of ignorance. That we're being given the opportunity that here's reality. Mm-hmm. We can appreciate that reality and see what is lacking in our devotional service, that we ourselves can situate ourselves in this reality. So that's what the Krishna consciousness movement's for. That's what any of the Vaishnava Sampradaya, so it's any of the preaching of the devotees and the Lord is for. Just for that. There isn't anything else. So the purpose to all the Lord and his devotees' activities is to bring the living entities back to the spiritual world. Like that. There is no other reason, no other purpose.
Now the first step is like to appreciate.
Yes, to appreciate, but the first step is to take advantage of the instructions that we're given. But then if that means we appreciate it and see that, yes, this is a value. So we're using our intelligence to go, this makes sense. So even though it's not a matter of logic, in other words, bhakti doesn't have to be proven by logic to be real. Bhakti is bhakti, it's what it is. But because we have that inclination towards things should be logical like that, the explanations of devotional service are not lacking in logical explanation. They will satisfy the intellect of those who can be satisfied. Like that. So it's there. It's already included, because the point is one of the feminine qualities is cleverness. Mm-hmm. Right? So when it comes to cleverness, feminine quality nature is four times more clever than men. So that's cleverness is practical intelligence. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not necessarily intellectual, it's practical. Like how to actually get things done and all that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, bhakti naturally will, you're engaging the body, the mind, the words, so that includes the intelligence, therefore then its explanation will also satisfy the intelligence. You know, because it's dealing with the mind's absorption in Krishna, the mind will be satisfied, the senses will be satisfied, everything's satisfied. Yeah.
Quick question. What is the feminine element in the answer? Like you said, bhakti, it is feminine, four times more clever. So what was the feminine that you spoke of? Like
cleverness.
What is feminine? Like the bhakti shakti?
It means here, who is the feminine? We're talking about bhakti.
So the process itself. Like
bhakti means the devotion itself, the process itself, the knowledge itself, the whole thing. So therefore, that's what we're saying, because, you know, it's also one of the six qualities listed in the Gita as feminine, so intelligence, right? So therefore, it's not that the intelligence will be not satisfied with the devotional explanations.
They're both are feminine.
No. That's there, but that's not the point being made. Yeah. The point being made is, we may say is no, but it has to be logical. It already includes logic, because logic comes from there. You know what I'm saying? Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. I say, the practicalness of logic, women appreciate. The dryness of logic, they don't. You know what I'm saying? So there's accomplishing something. So men may use logic just for logic's sake, that women don't like at all. But when logic's being used, that you actually practically accomplish something. means accomplished means there's something to experience. Then is very much. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Srila Prabhupada adds, because whenever Krishna appears on this earth, he superficially needs a father and mother. Drona and Dara, his eternal father and mother, appeared on earth before Krishna as Nandamars and Jashoda. In contrast to Sutapa and Prishnagarbha, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. Right? Nanda and Jashoda didn't have to do all that austerity. They just appeared and became the parents. So they show that, you know, the sadhana, they did that as Drona and Dara. But technically they don't have to, they just show the process. In his Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 152.9, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, 152, already so many, and then 0.9. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9, 1 through 20, this is 8. Okay, so next chapter. We find an explanation of Ananda and Jashoda's eternal parenthood of Sri Krishna. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.49, we find the explanation of Nanda and Jashoda's previous birth as Drona and Dara. The seeming contradiction of these two statements may be resolved by accepting the explanation that Drona and Dara are partial incarnations of Nanda and Jashoda, the Lord's eternal parents in the spiritual world. We may also note that the description of the eternal parenthood of Nanda and Jashoda is given after the description of their previous birth as Drona and Dara. If there were two contradictory statements in the scriptures, the second statement should be accepted, and the previous statement should be interpreted so it does not contradict the latter statement. Does that make sense? So anytime you're reading something and you see two statements contradict each other, the latter one is to be taken as the one by which you understand the previous one. That's a standard rule of grammar, like that. Now he's saying it here, and the grammar is his, right? Mm-hmm. The Sakriya, not Sakriya song. And so I can't even remember the names. Hari Namamrita Vyakarana. That's Jiva Goswami. So in there he makes the point, it's one of the rules, is that a latter statement always then is how you understand the previous. Right? So therefore, if you're having a conversation and someone says, yeah, do whatever you want, and you say, well, you know, I'm kind of confused, what do you think? You know, like that. Okay, then we should do like this. And then if after hearing all that, and then you come to the, yeah, that's a good idea, so let's do that. And then afterwards you think, no, but they said I could do whatever I want, and then you do something else, you've missed the whole point. Because it has gone to that next thing. So that discussion together and them giving a suggestion, you accepting that, you working out the detail, that is the latter. Therefore, you do whatever you want has to be absorbed into that latter one, not the other way around. Does that make sense?
You always say, Maharaj, the previous acharya should be understood in the line of the present acharya.
Yes. Yeah, so for us it's coming this way. So we understand them from here. Yeah. Okay. Yes. If there are two contradictory statements in the scripture, the second statement should be accepted and the previous statement should be interpreted so it does not contradict the latter statement. So that's then where he needs intelligence to understand what is the wide range. Why would that have a seemingly contradictory? Because it's giving a different detail. In principle, it's the same. In other words, the principle that's given in the second one and the detail is the main one, and this other one is a other aspect. So it's just for broadening your understanding. So you may apply the same thing in a variety of ways. Does that make sense? But you have to see what's the common point, the principle that's there. This rule of interpretation is expressed in the Vedanta Sutra 2.1.17. Right? So that rule is there, and from that then we can see this is the rule for interpretation. Right? You can't just take anything you want. That's the point, is that that is being made, that Vyasadeva is making, is that people will just take whatever they want, put it in whatever order that they want. But you have to take it by how it's presented. That's why it says you can't just skip around in a shastra. You have to read it through properly. Then after reading it through, then understanding that whole mood, then now you can analyze and try to put things together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you can't just jump around and pull from here and pull from there. Like that. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavana, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Jana means gopi jana. Ardana means tormenting and asking. Krishna is called Janardana because he tormented the gopis by stealing butter and other mischief and asked them for breast milk." So, a little bit farther meaning, because we'll have these things, I remember it was, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would give these different names. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's complained, oh, this is a Vaikuntha name and all that. Why didn't he give a Braj name? But that's because you don't know enough Sanskrit to actually understand it that way. And anyway, since you don't understand, what's your business trying to understand it that way? So, therefore, Nanda and Jashoda's Dampatayor, devotion for Janardana existed from previously, Asit, and was superior, Nitaram, to that of all other gopas and gopis. It is understood from this that the other gopas and gopis, like Drona and Dara, also had practiced bhakti like Drona and Dara in previous lives. And therefore they were able to come in this position. But seeing that they're the eternal associates, therefore they're the one in that position. And then others, then they can follow in that footsteps. In his Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 101, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "Lord Krishna's parents are even more fortunate than his friends. They described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam." In this verse, the word bhaktihi means love. Nityaram means up to the levels of sneha and raga. Gopaha means all the gopas. And gopishu means the gopis who were not Lord Krishna's beloveds. Right, so Gopi Janavalapa also can mean the elder gopis, because they're all gopis. Right? This statement will be explained later in this book, right? Because this is 101, right? So it's the beginning, right? Yeah. No? No? Okay. Sorry. Of all the devotees, the gopis of Braja, who have the most glorious prema, pranaya, love, mana, abhorrence, and raga, attachment, love for the Lord, and who have the great fortune of having anuraga, further attachment, and mahabhava, great ecstasy, love for the Lord, and those whose pure love brings Lord Krishna under their control, are very glorious and fortunate. Their glory and good fortune have no equal or better. The gopis are thus exalted. Right? So then you have the gopis who come up to this, up to the levels of sneha and raga, the parental, the gopis, the elder gopis. Then you, so it means that group, and then you have the other group, then it goes from there above that to pranaya, mana, raga, and anuraga, and mahabhava. So then that's the other group. So that's how you tell the difference. Because we'll say parental rasa and conjugal rasa, but the point is what defines them are these aspects. They don't go beyond in these. So the particular combination and this, what makes the attractiveness, what makes the, you know, the interest, what service is rendered, that's what makes the difference. So because of that, it gives different, how you say, result, it means experiences, the depth of that prema. So that we, you know, and with time that will come up and we'll be exposed to that basically from now on. You know, it'll become... And with time, we'll get more used to it and we'll actually know what the words mean and stuff like that. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, "Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. So he's doing this, he's pleasing Nanda and Yashoda and all the other residents, but at the same time, he keeps intact Brahma's benediction. So you see, he does all that. Like he protects Prahlad Maharaj, but keeps Brahma's benediction in place. So he does all. He accomplishes all these things at once. That's because, you know, he's good. Yes.
And why this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, does not categorize in any of his Bhagavatamrita Chima Mala? Wouldn't be
prayojana. Means? No, because he's just saying thus, because it's already been explained what was the love. Here it's just reiterating that he did that. Because it already described what was the love, and so now it's saying, you know, thus he lived together with Balaram, and like this, then they pleased the, you know, Nanda and Yashoda, and like that, all the residents of the Nanda. Conclusion. Pratigya. The four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, must be present in society. The Brahmins are required for the guidance of the whole society. Hetu. Because if there's no such institution as Varnashram, and if human society has no such guide as the Brahmin, human society will be hellish. Right? And so therefore we see the Krishna conscious movement in applying this system is then the actual solution. Because you don't have a material solution for material problems, you only have a spiritual. But we're going to engage the conditioning. Therefore, then this Varnashram aspect and then making it like that. Because how do we solve the problems of life by being engaged in activities that solve that problem? How does that come down? That comes down through the Varnashram system. Right? It's not that it simply sets a scenario in which you can. Right? Does that make sense? You know, one way to say, no, but it's not the Varnashram, it's beyond. It's just like saying, yeah, it's not the kitchen that does the cooking, it's the cook. And the cooking process is the important part. So if the cooking process is the important part, so it's not actually about the kitchen, right? Yeah? So, now can we come to the conclusion, therefore we don't need the kitchen. That's what we have to be very careful of. As soon as you say, oh, it's not about Varnashram, it's about devotion. Oh, well, then we don't need Varnashram. Oh, it's not about all the rules and regs. Oh, we don't need them. It's that foolish. Right? It's not about the kitchen. It's about what you can do with the kitchen. And so when you do with the kitchen what should be done, therefore you cook and that cooking's for Krishna, then the kitchen is perfect. But the kitchen manifests cooking. But the kitchen has no meaning without cooking. So Varnashram is how we can express through our conditioning our affection for Krishna because we don't have our spiritual form. Right? So therefore then we're going to do that. And the point is because it's connected to Krishna, it's spiritual. So that's why it's Daiva Varnashram. So in the context of what we were just discussing, then we're not talking about that the conclusion of the chapter is just four Varnas and Brahmas just like that. It's about applying that in Krishna's service, like we see Drona and Dara did. They, that means doing austerities, where is that mentioned? Right? Is it Marvel or DC?
No,
it's not any of those. It's mentioned in the Vedas. Right? So that's the whole point. You have to know where the authority is. And so therefore following the authority of the Veda. Sorry.
I was trying to figure out what's
that. DC, wouldn't it be AC DC? Marvel, you mean like majesty? Or you just, you know, just appreciation? Is that like Shanta Ross? Yeah. So I just thought you wanted to change from Facebook, so
yeah.
Does that make sense? So you have to see it in consideration of that, because this is the last verse. So that means you have to be able to understand all the previous verses according to that. But we see in there that they've done all these things, they've followed all that, they've solved the problem of human life by that surrender and serving Krishna. Right? They were Vasus. They're following the order of Brahma, but they request that this be the situation in which they apply it. In other words, as Daiva Varnashram, not just as a duty as a demigod. Mm. Right? So in that way, then, you can see. Does that make sense? Yeah. Udaharana. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful Brahmas to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Samaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda. Nanda Maharaj was very confident about the qualification of the Brahmanas and their blessings. He was fully confident that simply if the good Brahmins showered their blessings, the child Krishna would be happy. Right? So Krishna is showing, he does all these things, the universal form showed, but then the question comes, how is it that they have such a position? So that's being described. So therefore, then we understand what they were doing in the context of what their mentality was in pure devotion. Does that make sense? Yeah. Upanaya. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore very much eager to reintroduce the Varnashram system into human society, so that those who are bewildered or less intelligent will be able to take guidance from qualified Brahmins. So, now it's just take your pick. Are we bewildered or are we less intelligent? Those are or both. Yeah. Well, I can't pick, so can I take both? Yeah. Okay. Brahmana means Vaishnava, right? After one becomes a Brahmana, the next stage of development in human society is to become a Vaishnava. Prabhupada, people in general must be guided into to the destination or goal of life, and therefore they must understand Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole system of Vedic knowledge is based on this principle, but people have lost the clue, and they are simply pursuing sense gratification with the risk of gliding down to a lower grade of life. It doesn't matter whether one was born a Brahmana or not. No one is born a Brahmana. Everyone is born a Shudra. Right? Because technically, it means everyone's born a Shudra because technically, are you doing Brahminical activities? No. You're just, babies don't, it's not that. If they come out, start chanting the, like that.
Chanting the night.
Yeah, like that. And the father comes along to do the Jati Karma. Okay. I've heard of Shankaracharya at 6 taking sannyas and starting preaching in Madhwa at 12. But hey, this kid's getting off to a good start, right? Yeah. But the other thing that Prabhupada said is because people in this age aren't born according to Garbhodhan. So even if you're in a Brahmin family, you're not born according to Garbhodhan, you're born as a Shudra. Then by association with your parents, if they happen to have Brahminical qualification, you may develop it.
This is a side point. Those smartest, they do follow the samskaras, so they don't.
As Garbhodhan doesn't seem to be that as popular as you would want it to be.
Now what's the point of following the other rules?
Because then by that association, then you'll gain. But the whole point is if they themselves are qualified Brahmins, they have children according to Garbhodhan, then their child is born with that natural Brahminical nature. Generally, they might be something else, but generally they will be. So it'll be so much easier. But if you don't use Garbhodhan, then the range of souls is much wider. And seeing that those who are really qualified in the Brahminical will be less amongst the wide range of souls, therefore you might end up with something else. Just, because you have to remember, house always wins. Right? Since Maya is the house, she wins. Right? So that's why then everyone's born Shudras. So technically, if Brahmins then perform Garbhodhan with the proper conscience, then they would have a better quality of children. So therefore, devotees, as Vaishnavas, they're naturally automatically Brahmins, then they should be using Garbhodhan. Therefore, the quality of the next generations will be better, so the whole process of Krishna consciousness will be so much easier. Yes, but that's what you want. So. It doesn't matter whether one is born a Brahmin or not. No one is born a Brahmin. Everyone is born a Shudra. But by the guidance of a Brahmin and by samskara, one can become Dvija, twice born, and then gradually become a Brahmana. Brahmanism is not a system meant to create a monopoly for a particular class of men. Everyone should be educated so as to become a Brahmana. Right? So everyone should be a Brahmana by their understanding. Now, whether you have are Brahmana by your occupational skill, that's something different. So it means everybody can do the devotional service and those brahminical activities connected there and have that understanding of seeing everything connected to Krishna. But whether you can, as an occupation, then do brahminical activities, that's then going to be according to your conditioning. Right? But the other side, therefore, the other understanding of Brahmanism is for everybody. And then from that, there'll be some that their occupation is Brahman also. Right? At least there must be an opportunity to allow everyone to attain the destination of life, because that's what you're trying to get. Right? Regardless of whether one's born in a Brahmin family, a Kshatriya family, or a Shudra family, one may be guided by a proper Brahmana and be promoted to the highest platform of being a Vaishnava. Six purport, Nigamana. Thus, the Krishna consciousness movement affords an opportunity to develop the right destiny for human society, right? Because it's about coming to Krishna consciousness. So you're going to use these things to understand. That's why Varnashram is important, because then the emphasis is on the Brahmins. The understanding of a Brahmin is the most important for the whole society. Everyone should be trained in that. That way then, everyone gets the best benefit and the best opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jayanatai Gaurapreta.